Hello, and thank you for joining us for a few moments of inspiration and loving conversations with C. Melita Webb. Today, I was going to share with you part of an essay that I had been working with. You know, the collection has poetry, prayers, and essays too. And so I tend to really enjoy the essays because they allow me the opportunity to get a little deeper and to really explain to you some of my ideas behind the poems and the prayers, and also to share with you things I learn as I walk through this life of faith. And so yesterday I was speaking with one of my favorite cousins, and you know, we were talking about some relationships that I had been working on and improving. And she was like, well, what do you think improved the relationship? And what do you think? And I was like, me. I took the time to see what I could do differently. And in doing that, it enabled the other person to look at their situation and see how they were behaving. And then they chose to also behave differently. And so, you know, I do a lot of reading and a lot of deep soul searching to find ways to better myself. And one of the ways that I found was really just looking more honestly at situations. And I realized I had been kind of making these excuses for why I wasn't giving myself the same love and care I was giving to other people. And so once I realized that, you know, I realized that I was carrying this weight on my shoulders. And so I started saying, hey, wait a minute, I need to be heard too. Or, you know, well, let's look at this from a different angle. And once I started making those decisions, you know, to take the weight off my chest, to open my mouth a little more and to speak freely, you know, it was great. It's like I gave myself permission to just be me. And I gave myself permission to say I have needs too. And, you know, me having a need doesn't negate your need. It just means that we have to approach the situation a little different. And so once I started doing that, and, you know, sometimes you get people who really don't want to hear about your needs, and part of it's your fault because you've constantly acquiesced to what they needed and maybe didn't look at your own needs as much. And I think we're taught that, you know, as children, especially as women, to sometimes, you know, put other people first. And when you have children, you know, I totally get that because they always come first. But in my case, I felt like I had been living my life sort of in almost like in secret stealth mode, you know, where I was putting this person's, you know, need first and that person's need first, and I was even justifying it to myself. And so as I started looking at that and then realizing, no, it's okay to say this is what you need, it made my life open up. And it made me less resentful. And, you know, mind you, wasn't even aware that I was carrying this resentment for certain people because I was just used to taking care of them. And so my thought for you today is to just share with you some of the things I learned in hopes that they help you not create the same choices so that you are really getting what you need is speaking to people, not only in love, but in admiration, but also in support of yourself. And I have to tell you, once I started doing that, and also, you know, closing my mouth when I needed to and give any other person a chance to respond, I saw that some of the things that I was taking, not for granted, but that I was thinking were going to occur didn't actually occur. And some of the people I thought didn't have my best interest at heart truly did have my best interest at heart, but I had been so rejected by them in a previous instance that I was not allowing them to be there for me when they wanted to be there for me and when they were able to, you know, because sometimes we have these expectations because we do so much that other people have the same capacity, desire, or, you know, thought that they just, that they will do it, right? And so if you are a quote unquote high giver of yourself and your time, you know, and your energy, not everybody has been taught to do that. And let's be real, it's not necessarily the most healthiest thing that others can do. And I'm really hoping by having these conversations and dealing with real life situations that as we raise the next generation and we are, you know, in communication with our children, our grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and others, that we share with them the things that help their lives be happier and healthier. And they don't take 30, 40, or 50 years that it takes us to come to grips with what we've learned that hasn't been the healthiest thing. And so as I was talking to this favorite cousin and sharing that with her, I was like, you know, yeah, it was me. I made some changes in my life, and by my changes, you know, working for me, they helped other people see what my needs were and understand that I had space that I, you know, was privy to as well, right? And so, you know, with my heart, I just tend to want to give to the point where sometimes it's like I am just emotionally drained. And what has happened, I would say, over this last 6 to 9 months, is that I just stopped giving so much. And I've started letting people do more for themselves. And it's given me more time to do more for myself. And then I've been working with journaling. And it's just been really healthy and happy. And so, you know, the biggest takeaway from this experience for me is just being aware when we are making excuses for not taking care of ourselves. You know, a perfect example is, you know, someone says, well, why don't you do XYZ? And you say, well, because if I do XYZ, it's going to negatively affect these other people. And then you sit there and you realize those other people can take care of themselves. But you've been living like that for so long that you've become accustomed to having that as an excuse, almost like a crutch for why you're not living your life in a more holistic way. And, you know, it's just been a real awakening to me to say what I mean what I say, and to realize that, you know, I can respect people, my elders as well, and still say what I need to say. And look, let's be real, sometimes you have to break those relationships all the way to the ground to build them back up. You may have to stop talking with someone for a little bit. You may have to do some texting or some cards, and you may have to just take a week or so back and just say, look, what's going on isn't healthy for me. It's really pressing on my spirit. It's making me sad. And when I communicate with you, I have no desire to be sad, just like I don't want you to be sad, right? And so I need you to hear me when I tell you that when you do this to me, this is how I feel. And I'm no longer going to accept you doing this to me, because I am no longer going to accept being made to feel this way. And when you do that and you come from a place of mutual love with the other party, you can open up a dialogue. Now, if the person is, you know, all the way put off and they're like, well, you know, forget it, I don't want to deal with it, I don't want to talk to you, then you know to move on, right? But if the person says, wow, I didn't know I was doing that to you, I didn't know I was feeling that way, then you know you have someone who's looking for a mutually beneficial relationship and someone who values you as much as you value them. The key is to hold on to your value and not to give your value away in any relationship that you're dealing with, right? And so you can hold your value, stand your ground, and be loving and kind. You just have to have a good foundation in that relationship. And so that's what I've been dealing with, is just, you know, recalibrating some certain relationships and realizing that, you know, in order for me to get what I need out of the relationship, I need to bring the relationship to a new level. And therefore, it's a symbiotic relationship. And I'm all about the symbiotic relationship. You know, so I want to just suggest to you that if you've got relationships in your life that are less than healthy, that you reevaluate them. Give yourself some time, you know, and if you like, journal, because journaling is so freeing. It doesn't take any special form. You don't need a special notebook or piece of paper. You can write notes down on the back of anything you have in your hand. I personally use my iPad, and I love the speech to text programs. They work magnificent. And you know, sometimes it's not, the whole thought isn't done in one sitting. I have to, you know, think a little bit to take care of some things, come back, and I can think about a little bit more. But the key is to be healthy in each step you take. And relationships are often what fill the majority of our days up. And when we learn how to give and take in a relationship, and how to expect and perform mutually in a relationship, then our children see us mimicking good patterns, and they do not become doormats for anyone, right? And that's the goal. And they also learn how to work with each other in community environments. So, you know, that's my message for you today, is just to speak what's in your heart and to give the other person a chance to speak what's in their heart, and to see if this is really the best relationship you're in, and if it's in the best way, so that everyone is getting what they need from it. All right? So I'm going to wish you a beautiful morning, a wonderful afternoon, and a blessed evening of peace. If you try, you know, the journaling or looking at your relationships, leave me a note and let me know how that goes for you. All right? Wishing you the best. Be well. Goodbye.